You are listening to Punkish Podcast episode 592, the odds and ends episode. Nothing super big, but a lot of random wacky stuff for you, random wacky listeners. Let's go. I'm here with two of my three favorite gals. After somewhat of an absence, Sammy B is back. Sammy B, are you ready to talk about wacky items?
Yeah, let's, are we ready to rumble with this? Is that a thing?
I'm ready to rumble. Hallie Blue, are you ready to rumble?
Yeah, I love a good odds and ends. I love just like wrapping up a bunch of odds and ends. I'm into it.
Honestly, odds and ends, like, well, listen, I'm already getting off track here. So I don't really listen to that many podcasts, and I don't like that many podcasts. The only podcasts that I really like are Damian Abraham's podcast, which is great, John Jughead's podcast, which is great, The Vinyl Guy, which is great, and Chris Gethard's Beautiful Anonymous podcast. I actually really like all those podcasts, great podcasts. But I was surveying some podcasts this past week because, you know, we're coming up on Punk News Podcast number 600. And man, like, oh, my God. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but so many podcasts are – there's this one comedian's podcast, and he makes like $4,000 a month on this podcast, and this is his podcast. Here we go. It's Wacky Guy Podcast 322. My dog's taking a shit. It's Tuesday. And I'm like, why do people pay, like, and then there's the faux intelligent podcast. They're like, and in today's podcast, we're going to interview, a gay advert of the Adverts, of the seminal band, the Adverts, who's, you know, mind-bending, gender duplicity, shredded minds with her ability to grab the zeitgeist and expand upon cultural land points. It's like, no one talks like that, and why are you talking so dry, Lee, about something so exciting, you know? And so... And then there's the other podcast, which isn't really around too much. It's like I'm Wacky Jimmy and I'm Wild Bob, and we're here. It's like, oh my God, like so many podcasts are so bad, and they're making money, and we're not making any money. And one of the reasons we're not making any money is because we're not asking for any money. But I don't understand. Like, I think the Punk News Podcast is pretty good. It's the kind of podcast I would want to listen to. I feel like it's high energy. I feel like we cover a lot, and I feel like it's interesting, and we do kind of different stuff fairly frequent. Like, we have a standard skeleton, but we do different stuff a lot of the time. You know, we do game shows, we do interviews, we talk about the news, we do mail once in a while, blah, blah, but we haven't done mail yet because the mail is completely destroyed right now, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the mailbox back open. But at any rate, like, I feel like the Punk News Podcast has so much more energy and content than almost any other podcast out there, and we're not making $3,000 a month. Hallie, well, why are we making $3,000 a month?
Because we don't try. We literally don't even try. We don't try to sell advertising. We don't have it behind a paywall. Are you literally complaining that we don't make money when we don't try to make money?
Yes.
Punk News never makes money. Like, isn't that the premise? We don't make money.
I mean, if you were out there like hustling and like trying to get advertisers and like trying to get it to like make money, and then it wasn't, then I could see, I could see there being some room for complaint. But you know, we so far just do this because we like it, and you know, it is what it is.
Well, I do like doing it, and just so the listeners know, Punk News Podcast 600 is coming up. I haven't really given much thought. We're going to do something cool, and then after 600, the podcast might stay exactly the same, or maybe we might have more bonus episodes, or, I mean, it's going to be almost exactly the same as it is, but will there be significant change, or actually, will there be insignificant change with the Punk News Podcast after 600? Because we now have the front end and the back end, we got all the gears. Maybe, I don't know, so listeners, tell us. Do you want the podcast to stay exactly the same? Do you want more interviews, less interviews? I mean, see, and here's the reason I'm talking, like, today we're doing an odds and ends episode. We're just kind of bullshitting about a whole bunch of stuff, which honestly, that's like my favorite kind of episode. Like I love having people on and interviewing them. And actually, I love the game shows too and stuff. And I like, you know, here's this week's news, but I really just like hanging out the most. However, I think if you always hang out, then it just becomes too self-involved and like no one really cares. You know what I mean?
Yeah, although, I mean, I hope, I mean, listen, it may be odds and ends, but I do think we have actually some pretty cool shit to talk about today. So I don't think it's got to be just us, like, just sitting around, like, shooting the shit, right? I mean, we have, like, some legit cool shit to talk about.
Al contraire, because I'm going to start off very self-involved. So this is a follow-up from a podcast like 3 or 4 weeks ago where I was going to sell records down in Philadelphia. And briefly, as the listeners might remember, there's two other record sellers down there that annoy me. There's one guy in a goofy hat that kind of annoys me, and he complains about not knowing that World Inferno is basically my favorite band, and not knowing that I wrote the book on Leftover Crack. Incidentally, complained about World Inferno the first time I met him, and then complained about Leftover Crack the second time I met him. So not only did he get off on the wrong foot with me, he got off on both wrong feet with me. So the guy annoys me, but I don't think he's the worst guy in the world. The other guy.
I would love to find out that he was like fucking with you.
I almost feel like he knows who you are, and he's doing this on purpose.
Totally just like trolling you in person.
I mean, that could be, but when he was telling me how Leftover Crack really effed me over because they played too long for their set and they cut our set short, I was thinking to myself, I'm so happy that Leftover Crack effed you over. Like, I'm so happy about that, you know.
like, it's never happened to a more deserving fella.
Right. Oh, and actually, total side thing, total update. Check this out. Do you guys remember when we did the story battle episode and my sad story was I was chasing that guy down he got indicted in New Jersey and some other states, I think Florida as well, and he's charged with criminal fraud, Medicaid fraud, and so forth, so he might end up going to jail.
Boom. Justice is served, my friend.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, honestly, if he gets any time at all, he'll probably get like 5 years, which is like he should get life, and even then he might skip the country, you know, but we'll see. I mean, I just don't know why they didn't do this 3 years ago when I was telling everyone what he was doing. You know, I don't know, you know.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, at least that's some good news, though. I mean, maybe there is some justice in this world. We'll see. At any rate, the other guy at the record convention was the older guy that would come over and cherry-pick all my $3 stuff and tell me if they buy him for $3, they'll buy him for $5. And I'm like, thanks, Ed, even though I believe that if they buy one record for $3, they'll buy him for $5, but they'll stop there, whereas with $3, it never squares off. $3, $6, $9, $12, $15. Well, maybe $15 is squares off. At any rate, the guy is always coming over and cherry picking my best stuff and leave me with my junk. And so as you guys recall, for literally 6 months, I've been having this crisis. What am I going to do when he comes over and tries to buy records? What am I going to do? You know, and am I going to say, I'm not selling to you, Ed, or am I going to say $12? I talked with Em and Hallie, and I think Hallie's advice was a good advice. She says, just explain it to him, you know, matter-of-factly, that, like, listen, if I sell you all my good stuff, then I'm just going to have junk left over, so I kind of can't do that. And I'm like, that's going to be my plan. So I go down there Saturday, and the annoying guy with the hat is there. And I thought, you know, I don't know if the guy's trying to be a dick or if he's just trying to be friends and he's not good at being friends. So honestly, I was just like friendly with him, and that kind of neutralized it. You know what I mean? And so I think he just wanted to be friends, you know, which is fine. I mean, I'm not against friends or friendly acquaintances, you know. I mean, so you know, following in the great steps of Julius Caesar, defeating your enemy doesn't always mean annihilating them. And just like Caesar did to the Gauls, I befriended my enemy, and so I guess that was fine. Meanwhile, but my bigger concern was Ed, and so I get down there on Saturday, and guess what? Ed isn't there. For 6 months, I've been worrying about Ed, and Ed isn't there. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I hope I didn't bad juju Ed. Like, he's always at the sales. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope he's not, like, sick or something. Because as much as annoyed I am by Ed, I don't wish him, like bodily harm or ill health. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man, like, for 6 months I've been dwelling on Ed. I hope I didn't bad juju him. You know what I mean? Because if I bad juju Ed, that bad juju will come back on me. I didn't mean to do it, you know? So.
Damn, did you curse poor Ed?
Well, that's what I thought. But then Sunday, like I forgot about Ed. Sunday, walking up the street, here comes Ed, you know? And I'm like, oh, Ed, what's going on? And he's like, I was at the Temple flea market. You know, I'm like, oh, how was that? Eh, it was all right. You know, I'm like, oh, God. You know, so I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you inside.
Sounds like he'd be a great podcast host.
This dude is, well said. This dude is Eeyore incarnate. So anyways, so I'm setting up, and sure enough, just as I'm setting up, Ed comes over, and he's got the look in his eye, you know, and I'm like, oh, God, you know. He says, are you still selling these for $3? And I panicked. I said, no, I'm selling them for $6. Which wasn't technically a lie, because to him, if he was going to buy a ticket, it was going to be $6. To anybody else in the world, it was going to be $3. But to him, it was $6. It wasn't technically a lie.
His own personal price was $6.
So meanwhile, the thing still isn't open. Meanwhile, the guy next to me is flipping through records, and he wants to buy 2 records, and I don't want to charge him $6. So he's like, oh, I'll take these 2. Actually, I told him they were $3 before Ed came over. She's like, I'll take these 2. And I kind of had to motion, and we like walked 3 tables down like we were doing a drug deal. So Ed would see that I was only charging him $3 and $6. And so Ed's flipping through the records. He's like, well, how much is Tom Jones? And I'm like, $6, Ed. He's like, but there's a $3 sticker on it. And I'm like, all right, so I forgot to take it off. And he's like, well, that's good. You don't want to give stuff away for free. I'm like, yep, that's right, Ed. And so then he goes away. And then he comes back like 30 seconds later, and he's just like staring at he's standing there staring at my records. Like not even flipping through them, just like looking at them, not touching them. Like, this is weird, you know? And then he says to me, I see you've got a Sex Pistol CD for sale for $5. I'm like, yep. He's like, don't you think that's a little cheap? I've never seen a Sex Pistol CD before. Oh, and I'm thinking, hey, this MF-er, not only does he think he's bullying me into raising my prices, which he's not, but he thinks he is. Now he's going after my CDs. But also, like, Sex Pistol CDs are incredibly common. Like, honestly, like, $5 at, like, a spot is a little expensive. Like, I'm like, what planet is this dude on? This dude's been selling records and CDs for, like, 30 years. Like, why does he think a Sex Pistol CD is rare? And I'm like, I gotta draw the line in the sand here. I can't have Ed walking all over all day long. I'm like, yeah, well, $5, Ed, that's what it's gonna be. And he goes, all right. He walks away. And then he comes back later on, and he's like, are you gonna sell a Trenton? And I'm like, yep. And he's like, how much are you charging for the records there? I'm like, $6, Ed. He's like, that's good. You definitely don't want to give stuff away for free there. And then he walks away, and I did it Italian style. I'm a lawyer, and I'm a lawyer, and I'm having problems over dealing with this thing. You know, like, but I mean, if it was law, I would just say, listen, that's what I'm doing. You can't do anything to stop it. You know, but because I'm not looking to fight. You know, I just want the guy to go away. You know, I don't want to fight. You know, and so I did it the Italian style. I just told him what he wanted to hear, and then did what I wanted to do anyways. Oh, but it was so like when the sale started, I usually say, oh, how you doing, my friend? Classic rock, $3 each. Punk rock, hip-hop, heavy metal, a little more expensive. But when it first started and it was quiet in there, people would come up and say, oh, how you doing, my friend? Classic rock, $3. Punk rock, hip-hop, heavy metal, a little bit more expensive. Because he was literally right next to me.
Oh, my God.
But then once it got noisy, I could speak normally. So anyways, my Ed threat was neutralized. And that was the outcome of the battle. Anyways, Hallie Bullet and Sam both saw Jawbreaker, and you both saw Linda Lindis. So now that you've seen Linda Lindis, Hallie and Sam, and Sam and Hallie, how were the Linda Lindis, and how was Jawbreaker?
Linda Lindis were so good, right, Sam?
They were so great. It was so adorable. I kind of love how I noticed how young the crowd was.
Really?
I think something about the fact that they sold tickets the way that they sold tickets in New York, and there was a whole bunch of tickets on StubHub for super cheap in New York actually helped the cause of getting all of these like kids in a space. I literally like was waiting to, cause it was like, I got there super early cause I wanted to see Chris Gethard and I wanted to see Linda Lindis so bad. And I literally turned around right before Linda Lindis went on and there was an entire Asian family, like 20 people right behind me. And I was like, oh my God. So I grabbed my friend Jeff, because usually it's just me and Jeff. We're the only two Asian people in a punk room. I grabbed him, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so adorable. My heart is swelling like the Grinch to, like, record numbers of heartness. And just the fact that these, like, little Asians kids are here for the Linda Lindas. And the fact that they probably think that this is the coolest thing in the world, which I think is, they played so well. Like, I was floored, completely floored, how well they played and how great they sounded. So, yeah, I am stoked about that. Jawbreaker was great. but yeah, I the entire night was me and Linda Lindas. I was giving them heart eyes just because I was so happy.
They were just great, right? And I mean, you know, like the Jawbreaker crowd, you know, for the most part is like a bunch of old jaded punks. And like, I just don't think there was a single person in that room that wasn't totally and completely charmed by that band. They were so, I mean, it was so cute because I saw them on Wednesday, which was the first night of that run of shows, and they were so ecstatic. They were like, this is our first time in New York. We can't believe we're playing here. And then they were like, tonight we're playing this show in New York. And then the next night we're going to play in New York. And then the next night we're going to play in New York. And then the next night we're going to play on Fallon. And then on Wednesday, we're going to go to school. It was so sweet and so cute. Like, And then, like you said, Sam, like, they could fucking play, you know, which is like, I feel like people tend to level that, at like girl bands more like, oh, I couldn't believe they could play. And I just want to clarify, it has nothing to do with the fact that they are girls. It's just that they are young and they haven't been playing in venues of that size, and they just there was just no sense that they were you know, like, daunted or nervous. I'm sure they were nervous, and they were nervous in like a way that was fun. It was more like they were excited, but they just were total fucking pros about it, you know. Yeah, total pros.
They were like so professional over everything, and I was just like really stunned. I did hear, like, on the floor, like, people bantering about, like, oh, they're so young, like, you know, I wonder if their parents were, like, deeply involved in all of this. And I was like, no, kind of watching them play, they genuinely, like, really are, they're having fun out there.
And they just own it. I mean, exactly. They just own it. It is clearly like it's there, you know. I'm an actress and a musician because my mom did those things. But it's not like I was some kind of puppet with my mom pulling those strings. Like, exactly. They can be influenced by the things that their parents did, and they can be maybe more savvy about the business, or, you know, they can be influenced by being kids that are around the industry and still have this be a totally and completely genuine thing that is coming from them. And there's just, I don't know, just from what I saw on stage, there's no way that that's not what's happening. They're writing these songs. You can tell I almost felt like, Sam, did you feel like it's almost like there's four bands that you're watching, because each of these, you know, girls or young women, like, clearly have
they have
their own influences, yeah, their own voice. They're all writing songs, they're all singing, and you can tell, you know, when they break into a song, you can be like, oh, right, this song is by this one, and this one, like, listens, yep, to the Runaways and the this and the that, you know. You can hear all of their influences kind of. I don't need to go on and on about it, but I could. Like, yeah. It just was, it was just that amazing.
Yeah, like, I could definitely talk all day about them. I was super, super excited to see them, and I'm still super, super excited to see what happens to these girls. Like, you know, like, I actually had extra tickets, and I sent my little sister to go see Linda Linda's and Jawbreaker. I literally just gave her the tickets, and she was floored, and I was having discourse with her about, you know, how important it was to see Asian representation up on the stage like that, like, or just representation in general. Yeah. And, you know, and I was saying, I was like, you know, I could, you know, fuck all the haters. I could care less about what they think and they say about this. If anything, I need this more than anyone else, because, you know, there isn't too many Asians out there doing, you know, music that I like, you know, besides Mike Park and stuff, you know,
So, Mike Park's Asian?
Yeah, I heard through the grapevine that he was, but, you know, you never know. but yeah, like, you know, I really, if this is all they do because of that's just what they want to do, I'm okay with that. You know, if I hope that we see more of them, we hope that, you know, this takes them to somewhere else. But, you know, I personally think that this is definitely a start of something good, and I love it so much. but yeah, yeah, no. Yeah.
You felt like, I feel like it's been a long time for me being at a show that I just felt an entire venue completely fall in love with a band collectively.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just like everyone was just on board, I felt. You know,
there was more people talking about the Linda Lindas, from what I can tell, than Jawbreaker.
They kind of stole the night, right? They're hard to compete with. They're just so happy to be up there. It's hard to compete with that level of genuine excitement. It just is.
Yeah. And I also like loved the fact that like they choreographed on the stage together. It was super adorable. Even down to like whoever's styling their clothes, hot damn, they're doing good job. Like, you know, I think one of the girls actually makes clothes. So, I think she did dress some of the outfits, but I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is like the best thing. I was like, you know what? You guys go and run with it. I was like, if that's what you want to do, then do it. Like, you know, I'm all for that.
Yeah, they looked amazing. Like the visual picture, everything was just, it was really on point. Exactly. It was really excellent.
Yep.
Sorry, John. Sorry you weren't there, bud.
Was the crowd mostly there for was the majority of the crowd Jawbreaker fans, Linda Linda fans, Chris Gethard fans, or mix up and no one could tell?
I think it was mixed up, but I did notice that people ran out after Linda Linda's played. Like, you know, maybe those families that just came to see them with all of their kids. I think they ran out, but like there was enough people. Like I went on Saturday, so I went on the last night. It was full. I was asking my friends and my sister, like, how full it was the other nights, and they pretty much said it's been full, like, every night. So I'm like, okay, that's a good thing, you know?
The night that I went, it felt that it was Jawbreaker fans. So I don't know if, because it was a Wednesday, you know, I don't know if younger people that are interested in seeing a younger band, like they're probably not going out on a school night. So I felt when I went on Wednesday, I felt that it was Jawbreaker fans, which was part of why it was so fun to feel them winning the crowd over, you know, because it did feel that they were playing for another band's audience, you know.
Genuine question. Linda Lindas are playing Philadelphia. I believe they're headlining. Would it be creepy if I went? I feel like it would be creepy if I went because I clicked to see attending, and I think it'd be weird if I went. You know what I mean?
No.
No, I think you should go. Like, go. You should go check them out. Like, you know, just don't be, like, super in the front giving them googly eyes. Like, you know, that would be creepy.
Maybe I'll wear a black shirt that says security, and then it'll look like I'm supposed to be there. Just a couple of last odds and ends. I saw Dead Milkman, I guess it was last Friday, and it was awesome. It was the first Dead Milkman show in 2.5 years. Dead Milkmen are awesome live. However, about halfway through the show, and this happened right next to me, a bigger guy walks out, and he's walking kind of weird, and he's just kind of staring up at the sky, well, you know, the ceiling. And then he turns around, and then he sits down, and then he lays down, and then he is out like a light. Like, he's lying on the ground looking like he's dead. And people are – and then I've never seen this happen at a show. Like, usually at a show, like, if something happens to the art, like, in the crowd, like, people just don't care. They just wait for – but I guess because Dead Milkmen fans, I guess, are nerdier, and I mean this in a good way. They were like – people were, like, yelling, stop the show. We need medical attention. And I at first I'm thinking, you little wimps, you know, it's a rock show. You know, and then I'm thinking, no, actually, that's quite animalistic of you, John. This is just an – if somebody's actually dying, then maybe we should stop the show. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And so – So that's
giving of you.
You know, and so the first aid came out, and this dude, like, it looked like the guy was dead. Like he was like the Dead Milkman actually did stop the show, which I've never seen happen before ever. And then like Rodney is awesome, but Rodney took a huge chance here. He's like he basically said, like, let's all prayer heal the guy, and he got people to do, like, prayer, like, you know, like, and there's like Christian rock videos where people hold their hands in the air and, like, close their eyes and stuff. You know what I'm talking about, that scene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, he had people, like, doing that, and he's like, let him be healed by the power of Joe Jack Talcum. And, like, Joe, like, did the thing, and the guy, like, sat up, and, like, he was pretty beat up, but he was, like, alive, and they wheeled him out in a wheelchair. And I'm like, if that dude was actually dead, that would have been real bad. you know what I mean? Like the dude looked dead, you know? I'm like, wow, like, Rodney really took a chance there, and it worked. And, like, was that part like a skit? But I don't think it – like, the guy looked really bad. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wow, Rodney really took a chance there. And then I guess it was Monday night. I did indeed go to the Catbite We Are the Union Eve 6 show. And Catbite was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Catbite.
Nice.
It was funny is – turnout was pretty low. It was a Monday night, but, like, I remember way back in the day, in about 2012, 2013, you know, I was not happy with my job at the time, and I was feeling kind of down. And I went to a ska show on a Monday night in Westchester, and there was, like, 12 people there, and it was an acoustic ska show. And it was, however depressed I was before, I was 4 times as depressed in the actual show. It's, like, 12 people on a Monday night. It was... The guy from Less Than Jake, one of the guys from Arrogant Sons of Bitches, JT, and they're, like, doing acoustic ska, and it's like, oh my god, this is just hard, brutal. Anyway, so it sort of had that vibe, except for Catbite was great, you know, but it turned out it wasn't huge. So, and I was hoping, Eve6 on Twitter is, like super angry, and so I was hoping he would do, like, a postmodern art performance and, like, come out pissed off and be like, yeah, we're from the 90s and we hate it, you know, but it was just, like, an Eve6 show, so, you know. Lastly, SummerStore 85, July 2, Joe Jack Talcum, the band, will be there. It was full three-piece electric band. Marissa Paternoster band will be there July 2nd. You can get tickets at Eventbrite, also Froggy, Vixen 77, and At Night. And we're giving away goodie bags. And as part of the goodie bags, everyone will get at least one 12-inch record and one 7-inch record. And you say, John, don't you have enough 7-inch records already to give away? Yes, I do. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll give people 2 or 3, but I think if I give people 2 or 3, then they'll just seem like trash. Or if I just give them one, it's like, no, this is curated for you. So this is special. So I've got plenty of 7-inch records. However, I came into possession about another 200 more 7-inch records, some of which will be given away in the goodie bags. Just listen to these 7-inch records that you might get for free just for coming to the show. I mean, this is crazy. You come to a show and you get, like, an amazing 7-inch record. Here's what you might get. You might get, let's see here. Well, okay, these. Oh, Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, and delivered. 7-inch record. Let's see what else here. Men at Work. Who can it be now? Instant Karma, John Lennon, Yoko Ono. Here's what else you might get. Go-Go's, We Got the Beat. James Brown, Stone to the Bone. Electric Light Orchestra, Hold On Tight.
John, you're really pissing off your friend at the convention. You're just giving things away.
I'm doing this just to spite Ed. Daryl Hall and John Owens, Your Kiss is on my list. I'll just do a couple more. I mean, like, you can get the Monkees, I'm a Believer, Chubby Checker, Hey Boba Needle. I have no idea what that song is. The Monkees, I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. Let's see here. What else we got? Ooh, Hang On Sloopies, The McCoys, Rolling Stones.
Oh. Do you know that's my favorite song, John?
Well, Hallie Bullet, you might at the show, if you come, which I think you should, there might be a special bag just for you. Rolling Stones. Man. Hey, you, Hallie Bullet, you've got a 1 in 750. Hang On Sloopies, a 7-inch record. But I think if you come, Hallie Bullet, I think the odds might be in your favor. I'm going to use a couple more. Cheap Trick, I Want You to Want Me, 7-inch record. Righteous Brothers, Unchained Melody, Righteous Brothers, You Lost That Love and Feeling. Grease, Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. Let's see here. Flock of Seagulls, I Ran So Far Away. Elvis Presley, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. John Jones, I Love You Still, some old blues record. How do you like that? Ooh, Freddie Cannon, Palisades.
Wait, are you really going to read them all?
No, I'm doing five more. You might get these. Alice Cooper, No More Mr. Nice Guy, number 5. Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman. Beach Boys, Give It Up, 409, and Surfing Safari. Two more. Let's see here. Ooh, Beach Boys, Do It Again. Let's go out with a real killer here.
Oh, my God. I love when you go, ooh.
I mean, these are, ooh, here we go. Cher, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Papa sang in a traveling show. Mama would dance for the money they throw. Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Cher, you might get that for free in your goodie bag if you come to Summer Soiree 5, Philadelphia, July 2nd. $12.
John, I just, like, pictured you with Flock of Seagulls hair, and I think it's amazing.
I actually just got my hair cut today, but I will grow my hair out for July 2 and have the Mike Score haircut, which was developed by leaving a curly iron on his head by accident and thereby creating the famous Flock of Seagulls haircut. Ironically, Sam BB, do you know what haircut Mike Score of Flock of Seagulls has now?
Please don't tell me it's a mullet.
He's bald.
Okay.
Totally bald. Anyway.
Is that a haircut or just, oh, I guess it is.
All his hairs are cut.
Yeah.
Or it could just be the loss of follicles.
Is it a haircut or is it just your lot in life?
I think they say the candle that burns brightest burns twice as fast. And so he had the best hairstyle and now it's gone. Although I have heard if you like do like a lot of hair treatments to your hair, like it actually can make you go bald sooner. I don't know if that's true or not though.
I think it's just genetics, man.
Yeah.
I think so too.
At any rate, you can always use the podcast at punknews.org. Should we play Linda? Should we play Flock of Seagulls? Should we play something you guys want to play? What do you guys want to do?
I'd be down to play some Linda Lindas. I mean, we talked about them enough. We might as well play their music. Wait, Sam, what do you want to hear?
Oh.
Okay. This is Linda Lindas off the new album, Oh. The new album is coming out relatively soon. And go see him if you can. And if you're above the age of 27, wear a black shirt that says security. And we'll be right back. And we are back, and this is just a quickie in another odds and ends, and this is an old tour I've been meaning to get to for a while, but we haven't gotten to it because the podcast has been so jam-packed. Max Creeps, Lasibu Grand, Joey of Downtown Boys. We've had a lot of action in the podcast. We haven't been able to get some of the older stuff, but here is something that we did over a month ago. As per, I don't know, the past 15 years of punk news, maybe even 20, we've always done April Fool's articles on April Fool's. For a hot minute, say from 2008 to like 2015, a lot of websites did April Fool's articles, but collectively, the internet kind of got sick of that. Like Google used to do like a super complex April Fool's, but collectively, the internet kind of got tired of April Fool's jokes, which I don't know why, because I love them, and I think everyone on the internet is just miserable. So we still do the April Fool's jokes. We've toned them down. We used to do a whole day of April Fool's jokes. We would run like 8 funny stories in a row, but people like complain now. So we do one usually. And I thought this year's was pretty good. This year was real teamwork. I believe, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, this year's April Fool's story was really like we all kind of pitched in, and the result was kind of the merging of all of our ideas, wasn't it, this one?
Yeah, I remember there was like 10 million things put on a sticky paper, and we threw like one of those sticky hands at the sticky paper on the wall and saw what stuck.
That's right.
And that's how we got this.
And so the sticky hand is still there in the Hovercraft office. So our April Fool's joke was punk news to release world's first physical NFT. And it was a copy of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors with a punk news sticker on it, ripped in half by accident, and somebody drew fart lines coming from Mick Fleetwood. And I don't know why, I just thought that was like a really funny visual. And it didn't destroy the internet. Like people were like, oh my God, have you seen what's at punk news today? But people seemed to enjoy it, which made me happy.
It was super funny. It was super funny, actually.
Well, you know, we had to get into this NFT stuff.
What's funny is usually we'll do an April Fool's joke. Some people like, it's April Fool's, or they'll explain. Like, the joke obviously is we don't know what an NFT is, and so we just think we don't know what it is. That's the joke. And then, like usually someone will say, like, well, actually, an NFT is, but it seemed like I always expect hate, and for some reason this one didn't get hate. I guess just because NFTs are so ridiculous that everyone kind of wanted to kick in on NFTs, which I guess is fine. So anyways.
It's true. You found a common – you and your enemy found a common enemy.
That's right. So I don't think it's the funniest one ever, but I think it's a pretty good one. And you know, people don't want crazy – like we could do crazy April Fool stuff, but it just angers people. So what's the point? I think this one was pretty good, and we're going to keep doing the April Fools.
It legit made me laugh. It was very funny, John.
Thank you.
It was the fart image. The fart was like so something about the way it was drawn. It just was like perfectly executed. It was like exactly. I was into it.
Well, the fact that it says Billy age 5, it kind of does look like a 5-year-old did this.
Oh, that Billy, always up to stuff. speaking of April Fools, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced its 2022 inductees. Admitted this year is Pat Benatar, Duran Duran, Eminem, Eurythmics, Dolly Parton, Lionel Richie, and Carly Simon. Judas Priest and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis will be inducted under the Musical Excellence Award, which is not as competitive. So, like, the Rock and Roll is kind of being cute. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is kind of being cute. And Judas Priest is playing along is basically they weren't voted in, so they're getting an award, which counts as being inducted. But unlike where the other people are voted in, the awards are just given out by, like, the executives or whoever. So it's you get in under a different category without being voted in. However, people that did not get in include Devo, New York Dolls, Tribe Called Quest, Beck, Kate Bush, MC5, Rage Against the Machine, Fela Kuti, and Dionne Warwick. Also, there was a really weird thing with Dolly Parton. It's about a month ago. She said, I'm withdrawing from the Rock Hall nomination, and she didn't really say why. And then about a week ago, she says, okay, I'm back in. I didn't understand that rock wasn't strictly just rock and roll. And so the question that I have is, did Dolly really just pull her name out because they were calling her rock and roll and she found that offensive or improper? Or was there something else going behind the scenes? And the fact that she accepted like 3 or 4 days before being inducted, did someone from the Rock Hall call her up and say, Dolly, please, we really want you to come in. You know, maybe we'll do something for it. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed odd that she pulled out and then went back in. Like, it's difficult for me to believe that the whole reason Dolly pulled out was because she doesn't feel that she's rock and roll and that she's proud to be country. Like, it seems weird to me, like, that was so offensive. And
she didn't say it was offensive. She felt that it wasn't like she was like, oh, I would be upset if anyone labeled me as rock and roll. What she said was that she felt that there were such qualified women in that were actually in that category of music, and that she felt guilty, like, you know, like taking up space. She was like, if I win this, I'm going to take this award from someone that legitimately worked their ass off in the genre of rock and roll. I'm like, why am I getting this? So at least that's what she said publicly. I'm with you. It's a little strange. And then apparently the Rock Hall called her up and was like, it's actually way too late for you to say this. Like, things are already in motion. Votes have already got.
Yeah, the ballots already went out.
Like, they were like, if you wanted to take your name out of the hat, you had to actually take it out of the hat before people were voting. So I don't know. At least that was the public explanation.
She could have done Sex Pistols. Remember when the Sex Pistols got admitted and, like, John Lydon wrote this, like, scathing note, you know? You guys can talk why I pulled. Like, people hate on Lydon, and I get it, but, oh, man. Like, when he's on, he's on. I'm going to pull up his hilarious note. I'll give my 2 cents. I think, listen, I don't really care about the Rock Hall, but, man, I mean, like, it's cool that Judas Priest got in. It seems like they really did want to get in. And it'll be interesting to see if K.K. Downing is part of being in, because K.K. Downing and the rest of Judas Priest have been fighting for the past 10 years. I really hope they do let him in. They really should. And they probably will. But, man, like, no New York Dolls, no MC5, no Devo. Man, that's messed up. I think this list is so whack. Like, let me look here. Like, Duran Duran is a fine pop band or whatever, you know. Lionel Richie straight up sucks. I mean, Lionel Richie is boring, soft. Like, who is more influential on rock music and even music as a whole? Devo, New York Dolls, or Lionel Richie and Duran Duran? Like, Devo and New York Dolls by a mile. It's infuriating, and it's like, if you're just going to dog on Devo and New York Dolls, like, why even put them in? Like, why even, like... You're making money off their name by saying, oh, we're hit because we've got Devo, New York Dolls on our list, so we're really in touch, but we really just want to make money. So they're really just, like, making money off Devo, New York. Like who cares about Lionel?
How many times have those guys been nominated?
Devo, like, 2 or 3. New York Dolls, like, twice.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, you know, like, Judas Priest, this was, like, the third time they were nominated. Eurythmics, this was the third time they were nominated. So I don't think it means those bands are never going to get in, you know. But I agree. I'll admit that it definitely seemed like the edgier, punkier side of rock and roll got kind of dissed this year, right?
Well, it depends. Like, you know, my thing is, who is actually doing the votings for this, right?
About 200 people, some musicians, including Tom Morello, some music writers like David Frick, some producers like Niles Rogers, and a whole bunch of other people. So artists, producers, label owners, businessmen, and business women associated with music.
Yeah, so, like, you know, if these are the people that is doing the voting, like, you know, really, like, are they going to be first and foremost, like, voting the punkier people, you know? I was like, punk, we've always been, like, you know, not the most popular thing, right? So, you know, and yeah.
There's some surprising, like, punkier acts that have gotten in. It's just, you know.
Depends on when.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Lionel Richie over the New York Dolls. I mean, come on. You know, oh, my God.
And it also
I mean, but he
like,
was like a hit machine. So you can't deny that he influenced people, because his music was absolutely ubiquitous for, like, you know, like
but
a decade.
Who sounds like Lionel Richie? No one. Or everyone, because Lionel Richie, like, you could swap out any Lionel Richie song and give it to the OJs, or give it to Archie Drell, or Archie Bell, rather. Like, there's nothing unique about Lionel Richie. You know, And I'm not being anti-Motown or anti, like, Stevie Wonder definitely should be in because Stevie Wonder is the top-ranking champ. So it's not a soul or easy listening kind of thing. It's just Lionel Richie's just bland, soft rock. Like, New York Dolls are a direct influence on Sex Pistols. New York Dolls are a direct influence on the Ramones. New York Dolls are a direct influence on the Germs, Minor Threat, Black Flag, all those bands. Love New York Dolls. You know, who loves Lionel Richie? Like my aunt. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, ah. Oh.
I mean, I do know what you're saying. Of course, I know what you're saying. And of course, I would rather listen to the New York Dolls than Lionel Richie. But you can't deny the guy's influence on pop culture. It might not be pop culture that you and I like.
Want to
immerse ourselves in, but you can't deny the guy was all over the airwaves for like my entire childhood. I wasn't always happy about it, but you know, I've like suffered through some of those songs, but you know, he was everywhere. He was huge, like, yeah, just a fucking hit machine.
Next to the Sex Pistols, rock and roll and that Hall of Fame is a piss stain. Your museum, urine and wine. We're not coming. We're not your monkeys. And so what? Fame at $25,000 if we paid for a table, or $15,000 a sweep up in the gallery, goes to a non-profit organization selling us a load of old famous. Congratulations. If you voted for us, hope you noted your raisins. You're anonymous as judges, but you're still music industry people. We're not coming. You're not paying attention. Outside the shit stand is a real Sex Pistol. Gosh, I love John Lydon.
This is like part Eliza Doolittle. I heard some like Australian, like I heard like Crocodile Hunter, like
sticking
in there with that accent.
John. Can you do an entire Christmas episode in this voice?
Yes. Yes, oh, I can. Scrooge knocked on his door, and he said, my God, is that the ghost of Jacob Marley?
I'm sorry in advance, listeners, that this might actually happen this year.
We do have to do a Christmas skit style thing this year, or something else. Last year was Christmas hits. This year is going to be in the fiction realm, I'm thinking. At any rate, speaking of
Before we move on, I do want to say, when they announced that the Eurythmics were getting in, I was like, had a moment. I was like, I was like, I love me some Annie, but I don't know. Like, I was like, the Eurythmics, do I really? And then I thought about, I had to like, I don't know. I like what, so they reunited in 2019 and they played in New York at a benefit and they were so sick, man. Like, and Annie Lennox is still so fucking amazing. You know what she is? She's like, and I guess I have to just compare them because they're women, but like watching her, I was like, this is what I wanted from Debbie Harry when I saw Blondie. Like I wanted an older woman on stage, still as fucking fiery and like still like Annie Lennox. It's just like, she can still sing like she fucking did back then. I'm just going to say like, I did like a 180. I read the list. I was like, hey, Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams is great. But like, rah. And then I watched this performance of theirs where they played like all their hits and they had way more than I remembered. And they're just still so good. And she's still so influential. And I like follow her on Instagram. She's still like so fucking, like she's so fucking punk, man. And she's just like, anyhow, that I think like Pat Benatar, I'm like, I just want to say that I am excited about a lot of the women that got in. Carly Simon, I'm like pretty excited about the women that got in this year. And Dolly's great. I don't know totally that I think Dolly belongs there, but like, why not?
What?
If you invite Dolly to the party, because I kind of feel like how she does. There's just like a lot of women in rock that like really blazed some fucking serious trails. And like, I want to see them get recognition. I feel like Dolly's gotten a lot of recognition from her own genre, but like, I'm never gonna, like I said, I'm never gonna be mad when Dolly Parton is invited to the party, right? I'm never gonna be mad about that.
I know the thing right now is everyone loves Dolly and Dolly's cool, but honestly, it's just like, Dolly's freaking awesome. Like, Dolly's cool as hell. You know, and Dolly's, like, I was thinking about, like, Dolly, like, I would actually argue, like, Dolly's as much rock as Johnny Cash. Like, if you listen to a Dolly Parton album, it really, starting in, like, at least the mid-70s, it's not, it isn't true. I mean, well, it's not like Hank Williams, you know, like, I'm so lonesome, I could saw, you like, well, that's like an English, I don't know. Anyway, the point being
that,
like,
that was a mashup of many, many things, Johnny.
Like, I'm working 9 to 5, just a, like, that's kind of a rock song or a pop song, you know? And like, I think Rocky, I mean, Dolly's pretty rock. But, like, Dolly is, like, friggin' awesome because, like, Dolly is, in, like, she, her songs are very independent songs. But what I really like about Dolly is that even though she has independence, like you know, I'm going to do my thing, you know, I don't always, you know, it's a man's world and I'm a woman and I'm going to break out, you know, break out of it, like that sort of thing. But also she's very feminine, like she's very feminine too, and that, like, I feel she's being very honest in her songs, you know, in that, like, even though there's the political, maybe underspoken, but social political aspect, she's also not afraid to show the human side of herself, you know what I mean? And I think that's really cool, and I think Dolly's just awesome. And I mean, you know, Pat Benatar's got some mad hits too, and Carly Simon, it really is a master songwriter. I mean, yeah. You know. But I think I definitely think Dolly, I think Dolly rocks, and I definitely think Dolly should be in. So anyways. Yeah,
you kind of alluded to a thing that I and then we will stop talking about the Rock Hall. But like you kind of alluded to a thing that I think is cool, which is that like you look at bands like Duran Duran, Judas Priest, like a lot of these bands were nominated, and also ex members that haven't been in those bands for years are also like on the list of people that are getting in. And so I think there's like a really cool opportunity here for some of these bands to get up on stage with everybody, like current members, ex-band members. And I just like love to see that, like to see people like put past grievances aside and just be able to be on stage together, playing again, celebrating everything that they accomplished together. I think it's like kind of fucking beautiful. Like I kind of wish that there was a reason that someone was going to force me to get up on stage with some of my ex-band members and just like put our bullshit aside and just be like, let's just like play the fucking songs we used to play together. You know, like, I think it's cool. Okay. Let's stop. Let's talk about something else.
No, well, you brought up, so now we got to finish this. What's your opinion of when Blondie was admitted into the Rock Hall, and then during the Blondie's performance, Jimmy Destri said, please, Debbie Harry, let me play a song with you guys. And she wouldn't let him.
Oh God!
I missed that. That sounds spectacular.
Oh God! It is a classic Blondie. Like it is great. You can Google it. It's real fun. Anyways,
I will.
This is more along the lines of the Asbury Park Hall of Fame. Beach Rats, the band made of Ari of Lifetime, Danny of Let It Burn, Brian Baker of Minor Threat, who I now believe does live in Asbury Park, and Brian Cannon and Pete of Bouncing Souls. Have a new band. It's called Beach Rats, and they've got a new album coming out. Sammy B, this is right up your alley, is it not?
Yay! Yeah! Okay, so I really, really like the song. I am stoked for more stuff because I think the last time I saw them pre-pandemic, they only had like a 7-inch or something. So literally, me and my friends were timing how long their set was, because it was that short. So I'm stoked about this. The video I found hilarious because literally it was just Danny getting his drum set like ready for band practice and the guys hanging out with a rat that, I think the rat costume could have been a little bit better. And
I think the point was that it wasn't like an excellent rat costume.
Yeah, it was like definitely like, I'm like, wow, this rat costume is, not that great. Okay. I'm assuming that is probably the best it's going to get right now. But the fact, like the one piece that I like lost it to was Brian Baker feeding or trying to give the rat pizza. I was like, this is like such a pizza rat moment, and I like love this so much right now. But yes, I am thrilled about this. I am all about Ari. I still can't understand some of the lyrics he says sometimes, but that's just him. I love Lifetime a lot. And, you know, and I, my favorite things in the world is the Bouncing Souls. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is so, this song is fucking so great. It's so great. And like, it does like kind of that, like what I feel like what I loved so much about like Lifetime and some of the Kid Dynamite stuff where like they're not afraid to shove like the sections like have different feels, right? Like the verse has like a very hardcore feel and then the chorus has more of like an anthemic, like more of like, I wouldn't say it's pop, but like a, more of a poppy feel and the drum beat changes significantly. And so like, I love that. And I thought like they pulled that off just as well as any band that's ever done that I loved. Yeah, I thought this song was so excellent. John, did you like this?
I thought the video was cool. I like what the Bouncing Souls crew is. They've always had a particular in Lifetime too. It's like we're you know, Jersey Shore, you know, Central Jersey Shore kind of guys, and we get pizza and hang out with our friends and have fun. And I like that's what this video, like the video isn't like mind blowing. Oh, I've never seen this before, but it is kind of cool. Is that they're doing their thing. They're not trying to be something they're not. They're doing what they do and having fun, and that's what people dig. And I did enjoy the rat costume. So there.
and also, as an aside, Sam, I loved that interview that you did with Pete.
Oh, my God. I almost threw up going over there to do this interview because it's almost like – you put these people on pedestals, and a part of me hates meeting these people because I just love them so much. But he is genuinely, like, the nicest guy ever. And, you know, I have nothing but great things to say. I was actually in the studio as he was, like, working on songs with Up for Nothing. So I was, like, watching him do his thing, and it's, like, amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, so everyone, go to Pete and record over at Little Eden.
We're Crazy in the Brains. I've recorded many things. And let me tell you, Pete has done a killer job making Crazy in the Brains sound fantastic. Let's do one quickie, and then we'll play a song. This is Hardcore Fest 2022 has now announced its lineup. It's July 7th through 10th in Philadelphia. Headlining Hatebreed doing all of the Perseverance album. Thursday doing all the Full Collapse album. Also playing Madball Terror, Fury of Five, Comeback Kid, Killing Time, Misery Singles, All Out War, Wisdom in Chains, Leeway, Ringworm, Section Hate, Drain, Queensway, Year of the Knife, and a whole bunch of other hardcore, tough guy hardcore bands. This is Hardcore Fest is a huge event in Philadelphia, although I will say, usually when they announce it, like all of you, everyone's like, oh my God, can you believe who's playing? This is Hardcore Fest. It didn't really seem to blow up the internet these days, but that honestly, that might just be because Facebook is kind of dying. And so even though things might be attractive to people, they don't post about it on Facebook. Although the responses did seem much more muted than in previous. What I will say is I've been to This is Hardcore Fest and some of the lineups have been really cool. I saw Off at This is Hardcore Fest. I believe Sleep and Guar and Tragedy played one year, but I can't quite remember if that's correct. The Miss, you know, the quote new Misfits played one year just before becoming the original Misfits, which was cool to see. The funny thing about This is Hardcore Fest is not so much this year, but in past years, like you'll see like one, there's a band near the bottom of the list called Foreign Hands. I don't know anything about that band. And on Facebook, you'll be saying, oh, I can't believe Foreign Hands is playing. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to fly out from, you know, German, I'm gonna fly out from Hawaii to see Foreign Hands. And like everyone's talking about Foreign Hands. And then you go there and literally everyone's hanging out outside at the big parking lot where people hang out. And there's literally like 12 people inside watching the opening. Like they have so many bands on this bill, but for all but the headlining band and the band before the headlining band, the venue itself is like at 10% capacity or less, and everyone's outside like hanging out. So it really is more of a social event than a music event, which maybe isn't the worst thing in the world. I just think it's kind of silly how there's so much posing in tough guy hardcore. And what I will say about this is hardcore, more so hardcore punk than tough guy hardcore, is really like hardcore is very stagnant. Like even the hardcore bands that I like that are kind of in the more maximum rock and roll style, and they dress like Discharge and they sing like Discharge, and every song is about what Discharge sang about 40 years ago. I like some of those bands, but they're all kind of the same. And Tough Guy Hardcore is even more stagnant. I mean, I saw Integrity at this hardcore and it was very awesome. But most of these bands, they sound the same. They sing about the same kind of thing. You know, they're tough. Oh, actually, should I go off on a tangent? Well, maybe I won't. At any rate, the point being is every band on this list sounds almost exactly the same. What's interesting is right now in hardcore, there's actually kind of a subtle renaissance with bands like Scowl, with bands like Gel. There's a lot of interesting bands that are hardcore or hardcore punk, with bands like Sam, what's the band from New York City that we both like that's a hardcore band?
There's a lot of hardcore bands.
I know.
Crime Watch?
Bam, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Crime Watch. and also the Toxic State bands, there's a bunch of interesting Toxic State bands that do hardcore. Like, is it Doll Parts or Doll House? There are so many really Lotion, which isn't strictly hardcore, but Lotion is a mind-blowingly good band. Blue Anxiety. There's so many like really interesting bands with women in them, bands with freaky people in them, bands really that are hardcore that are doing stuff outside the lines. And there's a mini renaissance, like everyone loves Scowl, and everyone should love Scowl because Scowl's an amazing band. Why isn't Scowl on this bill? Why isn't Gel on this bill? Why isn't Crime Watch on this bill? It's all dudes in basketball shirts. You know what it's like, ugh. But but on the other hand, that's what this audience wants. Like I went and saw AC/DC twice, and AC/DC only plays the hits. Only plays the hits. Why do they only play the hits?
Because give the people what they want.
If they play an obscure B-side, the people boo or say, I don't even know this song. You know, it's like, they've got more than a greatest hit CD, AC. You know, so anyway, the point being is, this bill is very boring to me. And I'm not Mr. White Knight. I'm not, you know, well, actually, like, you know, like I'm not about enforcing stuff, but like, you could try. You could put a little spice in there. You know what I mean? Like, this is just tough dudes from 30 years ago that aren't even that tough, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. 20-on-1 is tough because that's what they do. They put sick 20 guys on one. Well, that's tough, I guess, you know. But 1-on-1, these guys ain't that tough, you know. I'm not that toughness matters, but they're always telling each other how tough they are, you know. And I got news for you. I'm going off on a tangent. My friend is a pretty high-ranking Marine. Like he knows stuff about Russia. I'm pretty sure, you know. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's been into real heavy-duty stuff. I mean, like he's like the Marines sent him to grad school. He's very educated and if he needed to handle himself, I'm pretty sure he could handle himself against almost anybody. And do you think my friend goes around puffing his chest out, acting tough? You know what I mean?
Wait, what?
I'm saying, I realize I'm going off on a tangent. This is Hardcore Fest 2022. It's a bunch of tough guys. You know, we wear basketball shorts. We're tough. We don't wear COVID masks because we're tough, you know. And we'll give them street justice. These guys are always walking around acting tough, you know. But my friend, who I'm pretty sure has killed a lot of people, he's not Mr. Tough Guy at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, because he doesn't have anything to prove, you know.
Right, but and also, like, you know, every day you're not getting shot at, why cause trouble? Because you're not getting shot at. These guys are looking for trouble because they don't have enough trouble in their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying I actually went to a hardcore show not that long ago where the headlining band was actually a very interesting band, but there were so many, quote, tough guys there, which is bumming me out. You know what I mean? And that's just my reaction towards this. It's like, what are you trying to prove? You're not doing anything artistically interesting. Everyone here is dressed exactly the same, like a uniform. It's almost like a male beauty pageant. Like, you're all trying to, like, show each other who's tough. You know what I mean? Like you're always talking about how macho you are and that you're a real man, but then why are you trying to impress other dudes all the time? You know what I mean? I just feel like there's a lot of unspoken things in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. That's what I'm saying. It's weird. I'm saying hardcore could be much more of a variety-type place, and it's just not.
I mean, it is, but maybe just not this festival.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where's Gel? That's what I'm saying. Where's Lotion? Where are the bands named after hand products? And now that Sammy B and Hallie are weirded out by my rant, which I've been has been swimming through my head for the past, I don't know, month or so, let's play a tune. What do you guys want to play?
We got to play that Beach Rats song, right?
Let's play it. This is Beach Rats. And we'll be back. And we're running along, so we're going to plow through a few more and then wrap this on up. And we'll be back. And we're back, and this is sadly a sad story. Well, maybe it's a happy story. And actually, Hallie Bullitt, I know there's some information that has not been revealed. Is it safe to reveal that, or should we not reveal that?
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead. No, I just don't have time to fucking – sorry for my – excuse my French. I don't have time to post things on social. But, yeah, there's no secret.
Okay, no, because they didn't announce it, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So
yeah, everything's been announced.
Well, for once in the history of the podcast, we can edit this if we speak about things that we shan't speak about. At any rate, Jack Terry Cloth's sister, Lisa Vent'Antonio, and his longtime collaborator, Scott Hollingsworth, have started the Jack Terry Cloth Foundation. And the idea of the foundation is to raise money and help out people make music and do that kind of a thing. The goal was to make $25,000. As of today, it's up to at least $75,000. $76,233. That's pretty cool. And 24 days ago. As part of the foundation, one of the initial pulls to raise money is they're putting out a double tribute record. The double tribute record includes World Inferno and Sticks and Tones covers by bands including, let's see here. I know Jeff Rosenstock's on there, Catbite's on there, Bouncing Souls, Choked Up, The Slackers, Ted Leo, Warriors, and Hallie Bullitt's band, The Unlovables.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Back out of retirement, baby.
So that's pretty. I mean, that's pretty cool. It's a pretty sweet lineup. You can order it now. But also, as part of it is because the foundation is doing so well, they've announced a bunch of stretch goals. One of the coolest stretch goals, if you ask me, is for I think if you order the tribute record for another $30, you can get a record of Jack Terry Cloth's own demos, which will be very cool. And so I just think this is a fantastic thing to do. And I think the music is going to be great. I'm excited to hear Hallie's cover. I'm excited to hear Catbite's cover, Jeff Rosenstock's cover, Slacker's cover. I just think it's going to be very rad. And I think this is the right and smart and cool thing to do.
Yeah, it's awesome. We were super honored and surprised to be asked because we're not really a band anymore. But, you know, it was really, really meaningful to me to I don't know. There's something so sad. You know, it's not like Jack and I don't want to inflate like my connection to him. You know, he played Gethard's show. I was completely floored. completely fucking floored. You know, but it's not like he and I were friends. He was friends with my guitarist, with Fid. So it was, you know, when we were asked to do this, my first thought was, this is going to mean so much to Fid. This is going to be amazing, you know? But you know, I have to say, I got a little choked up just in the studio, just singing his lyrics. He was just like an insanely talented, really like a, really a poet, you know, his ideas were so big and his presence was so big. The scene that he led was, I don't know, just, he's like just living this big, beautiful life. And I'll just say for me, it really meant a lot to just try to do just, I mean, I hope we did justice to his writing and his mind and his creativity. And I know it meant so much to so many people. And I think the foundation is just such a cool idea, right? Because he was the son of this, he was this thing that this whole scene was orbiting around, and it meant so much to people. And so the foundation is a way, I think, to just keep that alive, to keep his ideas alive and what he meant to people, and to be able to still do some of these events that, you know, that World Furno was at the center of, that, that people, you know, still want in their lives. So I just, I'm really glad that his sister, and his collaborators are putting it together. Cake, like the words on the cake said, pretty shitty time.
Yes, exactly. But like the cake, like the end product of the cake was like definitely some pre-packaged cake that they got like from Costco. So like, yeah, no, kind of adorable. Yeah, I am excited. look like and what the actual title is going to be. I do find it, I think this is their first release on Mom and Pop. Am I wrong?
Yeah, they actually asked to leave their label. Or actually, I can't remember if it was the end of their contract with Warner or they asked to leave their contract with Warner. Simultaneously, they got new management. They chose to kind of, what I would say, kind of a weird thing that we love our old management and we think they're really cool people and they're the best for us, but we're going with someone else. I guess you can say, listen, work with each other a while. I'm not really your number one priority because I'm more excited by other projects. I still like you, but you know, I mean, maybe that's a reasonable response. Honestly, I don't know.
Or they're just really nice Canadians.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. Like, that's a problem. Like, English people and Canadians, like, they say, oh, so-and-so's great, but they hate them. It's like, well, they just say, you know, but like, that's like, that's I'm annoyed by that mindset.
Well, I'm actually quite excited that they left. Or whatever, and they're actually putting something on a label that I have never heard of. So, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think that Mom and Pop's a fucking awesome label. I think it's a good fit for them. And, I liked this. I felt a little bit of the identity thing that you were talking about, Sam. It was like just the super shouty verse. I was like, okay, like, I think I can go there with this band, but like, but I did like it, and the video was really entertaining,
yeah,
and clever, and did what a video should do. It made me like the song better, you know.
I dug the video. I like this song. I like Tegan Sarah a lot. My favorite is The Con. I like So Jealous.
Me too. Oh my God. The Con is so fucking good.
The Con's a masterpiece.
The Con's amazing.
The record before that, So Jealous, right? Isn't that what the record's called? So Jealous?
Yes, I believe so. And did you get the record store day?
No, I meant to. I did it because I was annoyed by it because I felt like it was kind of a throwaway release, but I will get it eventually. The listeners don't know, they re-recorded So Jealous in acoustic style, except for Tegan sang Sarah's songs and Sarah sang Tegan's songs, which is, I guess, kind of interesting. And it's kind of a Rexford Bay thing. It's like, oh, it's not like a proper, I'm just kind of a thing, but I'll get it eventually. At any rate, the point being is I also really liked, is it Heartthrob, which I thought was like the dancey album.
I love Heartthrob.
Super dancey, yeah.
Yeah. I love that album.
I feel like that's kind of like after that they kind of stumbled in it, and I feel like they're kind of still recovering in that, like with Heartthrob. Yeah, Heartthrob is like not quite a full on pop album, but like leaning towards it. And I'm like I thought it was great. And the biggest hits of that were produced by Greg Kurstin. You guys know who Greg Kurstin is?
Nope.
He's Geggy Tall. Do you guys know Geggy Tall?
No.
I want to thank you for letting me pass you while I was driving my car. It was huge in the 90s, kids. At any rate, their next album, like they said, we're going full on pop for the next album, which was Love You to Death. And I was like, oh boy, I can't wait to hear this album. But the problem was, is that like with Love You to Death, like every song was like sad. And it's tough to have a pop album where every song is sad. Like Modern English did it, and that's pretty much about it. You gotta have at least like five or six upbeat, like, I don't want to say happy, but hard driving numbers. Whereas for Love You to Death, like every song was kind of downcast and slow. And I feel like they were at the precipice of like really having a Madonna or a Gwen Stefani or a Carly Rae Jepsen level album. And they, instead of having the pop bangers, they did all sad tunes. And I feel they've sort of been lost since then. And so I think they're kind of actually, if we can draw a parallel to Rancid, anytime Rancid puts out an album, they don't know what to do. Do they want to do Out Come the Wolves, or do they want to do a hardcore album or a ska album? And it's, they just do a kind of melange of all of them, and it has no real identity. And I thought this lead single was okay, but it didn't knock me out of the park. And for a lead single, I kind of think you have to have a hook, at least if you're going to do sort of a poppy thing. And I'm going to get the album. I think it's going to probably be pretty good. But I feel like, and I hope that like either they go full on indie again, like The Con or So Jealous. The Con's a masterpiece. Or if they want to do full on pop, I'd love that too. kind of back like heartthrob, but I feel like you kind of got to commit. And I feel like they're not sure if they want to commit to one thing or another. Not that an album has to be one exact genre, but I think the general thrust of a song has to have some sort of identity. Otherwise, I'll draw another comparison. Joe Strummer's solo stuff, his first like two solo albums, like they're all right, but it's just him kind of like screwing around with whatever instruments lying around. It's like At the Border guy. It's like he's like At the Border, you know, or there's that songs We Like Peas and Mashed Potatoes or whatever song, like we're singing about food. It's like, I can't remember the song because the song is such a mishmash of like world and reggae and rock and folk. They have no identity. And I feel that's where Tegan and Sarah have been struggling. I'm hoping the new album doesn't have that problem, but this lead single suggests to me it's going to be sort of like Love You to Death again and not full on pop or full on indie.
I loved the dance stuff too, John, but I felt like my perception, I could be wrong, was just that I feel like people just didn't quite go there with them. I thought that was the cool direction for them to go in, but then I saw them at South By that year and they were in this giant venue that clearly the South By organizers felt that they should be able to fill. And it was like, you know, a quarter full and it was completely depressing. So I got the sense from that. It just seemed like people just didn't follow them when they went in that direction, that their fans just weren't into it.
Was that for Love You to Death or for Heartthrob?
Heartthrob.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. And that's the tour where they kind of like went full on pop, right? And even did their older songs in a pop style, right?
Yeah, it was like, yeah. I don't know. I remember there were like balloons all over the place, but like with like not enough people to like keep the balloons there. I don't know. I just remember that. I remember something about it feeling sad. Of course, that's only one show. That's not to say, I don't know if that entire tour wasn't, but you know, it's South By. You would imagine that. You know, there's just you at South By, you really get a sense of like what people are excited about and what they're not. And just walking into that room, you're just like, oh, people are just not excited about those.
Interesting. Well, Hallie, what would you have Tegan and Sarah do? What would Tegan and Sarah's David Bowie era 3 comeback be?
That's a really good question.
Death metal?
No, I mean, I don't want to hear them do death metal because I love their voices and. I don't know. I mean, I trust them as artists. I don't love everything they do, but I trust them as artists to be doing what they're inspired to do in the moment. And, you know, I don't know if there's like anything that I want them to do what they want to do, you know,
whatever sparks joy to them.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I interviewed Tegan once years ago, during the Con era. She was very cool.
I would imagine.
She was cool. Okay, let's do one last story. I shouldn't even do this story, but I think I should. Well, I shouldn't, but I'm going to. Guar has released the new single from their new album. The single is called Mother Effing Liar, and it's off the upcoming album New Dark Ages. Of course, this is their second album with Otis Yarungis, and at this point, maybe we shouldn't even mention that Otis Yarungis isn't in the band anymore because he's been dead almost 10 years, and the band has continued without him. But I guess the reason I bring it up is I want to remain a Guar. Well, I'll always be a Guar fan, but I want to say, hurrah, Guar, you're still killing it. And this song was okay. What Guar always at during their best eras is they're kind of funny and sometimes they're sarcastic or sometimes they're satire. And it was a shame that Dave Rocky died, but it was doubly shame that he died just before the Trump era, because if anybody could have taken that on correctly, it would have been Broccoli. A lot of artists had trouble criticizing Trump because he is a walking cartoon. He is a jackass. like pointing out that a jackass is a jackass isn't that interesting, you know, but Broccoli could have found that way. And so this song, Mother Effing Liar, I think it's kind of influenced by Trump era or MAGA type stuff. That's just my sense. And I just felt like there's no humor in the song and there's no satire, where during the Trump era post Brocky Guar, they said, you know, Trump's a jerk, what a loser. I think what Brocky would have done as Odorous was say, oh, Trump's great. Look how stupid he is. Like, that's great. Like, he would have by saluting that, he would have showed how asinine that position is, rather than just pointing at it and saying, isn't this stupid? And I think that's missing here, that twist that makes things interesting. If we can harken back to the classic Gwar album, War Party, my favorite Gwar album, the idea behind War Party is Gwar forms a political party called the War Party, and their goal is the annihilation of the human race through nuclear warfare, because that's obviously what humans want. And that's the joke, you know. And so I feel as though this song is, you're a liar, you're a liar, I hate you. That's just not super interesting or funny to me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that, like, Trump people, like, they don't really get irony or subtlety. I just think that as an artist who clearly really upset. I mean, I agree with you. I thought, you know, I thought the song was just all right, but I did relate to it. I felt like it was just an artistic need to express such disappointment and anger about what's happening in the world. And I just don't think I don't think the same person that's writing this song and is so upset about this stuff could, like, write something that's, like, ironically praising Trump. Like, that's, I just don't, where the political world we live in, like, no one's going to get that subtlety. Idiots are going to be like, yeah, look at that, Gwar loves Trump. Like, I just don't think, like, they would want to even tread in that water, like, even remotely. I was with you. I definitely felt that this was about Trump and Trumpism, and whether it was, like, successful as a song or not, I definitely related to just the sheer sort of despair and anger that was expressed in it, you know.
Do you think people are dumb, because they used to do, like, saluting, like, George Bush, and people got that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just it was a different world, right? There was a little more room for subtlety back then, and I thought that was the worst fucking president we could ever have. And, like, we had no idea how much worse things were going to get, really, you know?
It got so bad. Yeah. So bad. Yeah, I think this one hit the mark. I think they could have gotten a little bit more creative with the lyrics. Cause, you know, how many times can you say, that someone's a damn liar? But, you know, and yeah, like, I remember once a million moons ago, I did watch some Gwar videos, and I did feel like, you know, they were very entertaining. This one, even though it's a visualizer, I wasn't super entertained by it, even though there was, like, you know, the characters of Gwar, right? In some of the visuals and the background and stuff, I was just, like, kind of bored by it, and it wasn't even just, like, the fact that there was, like, flashing words, you know, there, but I think I just missed the mark, dude.
Well, let's give it a spin, and listen, I love Gwar, and I do know that lead singer Blothar is getting even better as a singer than he was when he started, so he sounds good. And so hopefully the album will be cool. I've already pre-ordered it, so hopefully it'll be good. This is Gwar doing Mother Effing Liar, and we'll be back and we'll wrap this on up.
Burn, burn, set it on fire. One thing I hate is a motherfucking liar. Truth is undone, like it never existed. Yeah.
And we are back. Sammy B, any parting words for tonight's Odds and Ends episode?
Be good to each other. Don't get sick. Wear a mask. And wash your hands.
Hallie Bullitt, any response?
No, I don't know if I have a response. I mean, yeah, wash your hands. I would tell people if you can see that, go see the Linda Lindas, man. If you can see him, just go see him. It was a cool experience.
And we'll see you next week.